migration, that is, people leaving one country to move to another, has always been a factor in human social organization. People have been on the move throughout recorded history and probably, or certainly, even before recorded history began. Now, here in the U.S., for example, we began with Native Americans who migrated into this country across the Bering Strait, we are told. And of course, we've grown and grown and grown over the years with recurring waves of migrants from England and Europe and countries around the world. I think it's fair to say that when countries have small populations and lots of room, like the U.S. did centuries ago, migration was viewed as a good thing. And it's been encouraged in many situations. But today, our world, 7 billion people and counting, and the impact of major movements of people out of some countries and into some others has more and more impactful consequences. We certainly heard a lot about it recently with the presidential campaign and now the presidency of Donald Trump in the U.S., who made immigration, that is, in-migration into the U.S., a major part of his focus. And we know that migration usually begins with attitudes, that is, a desire of people to move from one country to the other. And today on the Gallup podcast, we're going to talk about what we know about the desire to move among residents in most of the countries around the world, and the countries to which people would like to move if they could, based on Gallup's vast database of migration attitudes. And then our big number of the week will focus on a different aspect of migration, the desire of people within the U.S. to migrate out of the big cities and into rural areas. Hello, everybody. I'm Gallup Editor-in-Chief Frank Newport. We welcome you to our Gallup podcast. Our special guests today, and we have two of them, are Nelly Esipova, Gallup's Director of Research for Global Migration and Regional Director for a large number of countries in our Gallup World Poll, and Julie Ray, who is the managing editor of the World Poll here at Gallup. I want to start with Julie. Tell us just a little, for our listeners who don't know, about our Gallup World Poll, what we do, how long we've been doing it, and in how many countries we interview right now.
Sure. So in addition to asking people if they'd like to move permanently from their countries and where they'd like to go, our migration questions, we've been asking people around the world the important questions about their lives, from their work to their families, their confidence in financial institutions, their approval of their leadership, a whole host of questions. And we've been doing that since 2005. And as of today, we've asked those questions in more than 165 countries worldwide.
So that's the vast majority of the world's population included, right? Just a few countries that we can't get into, we can't interview in, like North Korea, for example?
Correct. It represents about 99% of the world's adult population.
Fascinating. And as Julie mentioned, one of those specific attitudes that we measure in the World Poll is migration, about which we have a lot to say, and our expert on that is Nelly Esipova. Nelly, can you tell us just for a bit how we measure migration in our World Poll?
Frank, we have two main lines of measurement for migration. First one is we are measuring desire, plan, and preparation for migration. And second line is we are measuring attitude around the world towards migration and migrants. As a matter of fact, just last year we developed a new index, Migrant Acceptance Index.
So we're talking about asking people whether they want to leave, they want to migrate, and also asking people whether they're open to the idea of people moving into their countries. Is that right?
Correct.
What have we found over time? More people want to migrate now or fewer?
When we look at this desire to migrate, we always combine 3 years worth of data. So we are looking now at 2015, 16, 17 data set. And what we see now is that 15% of adult population, which translates into 750 million adults, would like to migrate permanently to another country if they had the opportunity. The numbers are higher than 2010, 11, 12, which it was 13% at that time. But it is still lower than our highest numbers before a world economic crisis. At that time, the number was 16%.
And I think we can safely assume that this desire to migrate is higher in some regions of the world than others. Give us a little overview by region. Where is the desire highest and where is it lowest, Nelly?
The desire highest and keep increasing in sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America, and the Caribbean, and in the Middle East and North Africa.
So all of Africa, in other words, because you said Sub-Saharan and North Africa, and then you're saying Central American countries, and the final group that you mentioned was?
Middle East.
Middle East, okay. Middle East Africa, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we can assume that the countries or the region that we're talking about now you didn't mention are where the desire to migrate is lowest. Does that include North America, Europe, those kind of countries? People are happier there, at least they don't want to move.
Northern America for years was one of the regions with lowest percentage of people who want to leave. But right now, actually, numbers increased mainly because of United States. So if for years desire to migrate in United States was flat, it stayed at 10%, in the last 2 years, it increased to 16%.
Now, that's very fascinating. So you're saying when we drill down to specific countries that there's been an increase of people wanting to outmigrate in the U.S. I know we're still studying this, but do we know why there has been an increase in the percent of Americans who want to leave?
We cannot say exactly. We did not study yet why more Americans want to leave. The only thing we can say as of now is that women are more likely now to say that they would like to leave.
Yeah, I'm sure that's...
We, as you know, we do not measure political affiliation in World Poll.
But let's broaden this. Even though the U.S. is up, it's still quite low in terms of the number of people who want to leave. I understand there are some countries where half or more of the residents of that country would leave if they could. Where are these countries?
We are talking about 13 countries around the world with at least half of adult population who would like to leave. And what's interesting, it's basically this country represent nearly every region in the world, with exception of only Northern America and Asia. So I can give you a few examples.
That would be great.
Sierra Leone, Liberia, Albania, Congo, Dominican Republic, Armenia, Kosovo, Syria. Just a few examples.
And so those are countries where more than half of the residents would want to leave if they could. At the top of the list, you said, is the African country of Sierra Leone?
Correct.
All right. And Nelly, what are a few countries where people are the least likely to want to leave?
There are quite a few countries which we consider when a percent is no more than 10%, it's a normal situation. Because, Frank, if you think about it, it's completely normal when young people, for example, want to explore and go around the world nowadays. So again, this list is also covers different regions. For example, Indonesia, Thailand, Pakistan, China, India, Canada, Austria, Switzerland, Israel. It's all countries with below than 10%. And so, there are more of those.
Phrased differently, Nelly, 90% or more people in the countries you just mentioned are content to stay right there and don't have any interest in leaving. That's very, very interesting.
It doesn't have to necessarily be content. Some of them might just don't know even what is it to live outside.
But yeah, very, very good distinction there. They might not be happy, but at least they tell us that they don't want to move. Nelly, let's flip the coin for a moment. What are the countries to which people would most want to go if they could leave their country?
Frank, there are roughly 18 countries that attract two-thirds of all potential migrants worldwide. United States still is number one in the world. 21% of people who want to migrate to United States. It translated to 158 million of adults. And numbers did not change in the last few years. And maybe part of the reason is that attitude to United States around the world, it's still like land of opportunity, land of dream.
Very interesting. You've told us about two aspects of migration. Nelly, we've been talking about the countries where people want to leave, and we've talked about the countries to which people would want to go. I understand, and this is very, very important, that you've put those two together and come up with an index about net migration potential for countries around the world. Tell us a little about that.
Yes. The reason why we were able to come up with the index, because imagine we have a matrix of 152 by 152 countries, and we know the direction of every person who wants to migrate. So we put this together, and we created an index that is estimate number of adults who say they would like to move permanently out of the country if they had the opportunity. We take this number, we subtract from the estimated number of who say they would like to come into the country, and we take it as a proportion of the total adult population. So basically, we are looking at this hypothetical situation, what happened in everybody move who wants to move. And we can say how your country will change based on this.
So Nelly, give us some figures on this. This potential net migration index, where is it highest? In other words, if people could move where they wanted to move without any constraints, what countries around the world would grow the most and what countries would shrink the most?
New Zealand, Singapore, Iceland, United Arab Emirates, Switzerland, Australia, to name a few.
Just a moment. Let's be clear for our listeners. Those are the countries that if everybody could go where they wanted to, would expand the most?
Correct. So what it means that population of these countries will grow.
That makes sense. So where would countries shrink if everybody could go where they wanted to? I think I can guess based on what we talked about earlier about people who want to leave, but where would we see the biggest shrinkage of countries if everybody could leave that wanted to?
A biggest shrinkage is, again, in Sierra Leone, minus 70%. So can you imagine if everybody moved, 70% of the country will disappear, basically. And also Haiti, Nigeria, Syria, El Salvador, Senegal, Honduras, Togo, Moldova.
These are countries where they would lose population if everybody could shuffle themselves around,
yes,
as you discussed. In the list you mentioned a moment ago, I don't think I heard the U.S. at the top of the list. It would expand, but it's not among the top expanders based on this index?
Yes. United States score is pretty high. It's plus 46%. But remember, in the index, we take into consideration the total population, adult population of the country. So United States is a huge country. You cannot compete with Iceland, for example.
That makes sense on a percentage basis. And I should point out, right, Nelly, that this is all hypothetical. There's no way that everybody's going to leave and move to other countries. They just can't. So we're just saying hypothetically, this is what would happen if kind of everybody could do what they wanted to do, right?
Absolutely. But at the same time, it gives us and policymakers some ideas who, what kind of people they attract and what kind of talent they can lose.
And that can be very, very valuable. I understand there's some very interesting things going on in a couple of countries in Europe. Tell us about that. Great Britain and then Germany.
Yes. These two countries are very interesting because it really shows us how policies in the country can affect desire to migrate around the world. So what we all know that Germany in the last few years really hosted a lot of migrants and refugees. And Germany potential net migration index increased significantly. At the same time, after Brexit, United Kingdom numbers went down. It's still in plus, but it went down significantly from 53% to 37%.
Julie Ray, managing editor of the World Poll. We've been talking a lot with Nelly about migration and the real world implications, as we just heard. I understand, speaking of the real world, that there's a compact, as it's been called, an agreement that's up and coming where some countries are going to try to get together and talk about doing a better job with migration. Tell us a little about that.
Sure. So this week, most of the UN member states are expected to formally adopt a legally non-binding global migration compact. They're doing that in Morocco this week. And most of the world signed on to this earlier this year, but this is part of the formal adoption of this agreement. A number of countries, though, since June have pulled out of that and have indicated that they're not going to sign. Of course, you know, US pulled out of the agreement initially, and then followed by a number of mostly European countries, but Australia, Israel, and some of those others also have indicated that they're not going to sign on to the compact.
And I know we've done some research looking at kind of the relationship between that net migration index and those who are not going to sign. It's not necessarily that those who are saying we're not going to sign are those who would get the greatest number of migrants based on our index.
Right. So critics of the agreement have really been open about the fears that it would open doors to unchecked mass migration. But actually what our PNMI, our potential net migration index, shows that in a lot of the countries, actually most of the countries that are refusing to sign, more people actually want to leave these countries than want to come to them. And this is mostly in Eastern European countries that have rejected the agreement.
Very interesting. These data are really fascinating and important, extremely important, because as you and Nelly have been talking about, and as I said at the outset, migration has become one of the central issues of our time around the world, along with perhaps climate change. So if our listeners want to find out more about all of our migration data, I understand we've set up a new center where a lot of these data are put together. Tell us a little about that.
Sure. This week, we are releasing our Migration Research Center, which houses the latest and the best discoveries that we've found over the past decade, more than a decade, that we've been looking at these issues. So visitors to our Gallup Migration Research Center can find our latest discoveries, links to our latest articles, as well as reports that other organizations who have been using our data have released, including the World Happiness Report, which focused pretty particularly on migrant experience in 2018, but also the International Organization for Migration has used our research. We have links to their analysis. We have articles that we've published over the past decade on Gallup.com covering topics from temporary migration to migrant acceptance index to desire to migrate, of course, what we've been talking about.
And we have actual countries listed. So if I want to see where my country comes in, we can look that up on this center.
Sure. We actually have created an interactive map that people can actually go in and see how much their countries would potentially change if everybody moved where they wanted to worldwide. So we've got that in a couple of different forms so people can interact with the map and look at how many educated people would be coming in, how many young people would be coming in. But also, we have that in table format so people can sort the data however they'd like.
Very fascinating. As I just mentioned, extremely important. Julie, if people want to get access to this, how do they find it?
Sure. It's going to be available on news.gallup.com.
News.gallup.com. And its official name is the Migration Research Center?
Right. Gallup's Migration Research Center.
Excellent. I want to thank you, Julie Ray, Managing Editor of the Gallup World Poll, and Nelly Esipova, Gallup's Director of Research for Global Migration and Regional Director for a large number of countries included in the World Poll, for being with us, talking about, I will repeat, one of the most important topics facing the world today, and that is migration, the desire to move from one country to the other, and the desire or the lack of desire of people in those countries to accept in migrants. Thanks so much for being with us, both Nelly and Julie.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
And now our big number of the week. 27%. That's the percent of Americans who say that if they could live anywhere they wished, they would prefer to live in a rural area. And that's higher than the desire to live anywhere else that we gave them as an alternative. Second highest was living in a suburb of a big city, 21%. And I think you'll be interested to know that only 12% of Americans, if they had their druthers, so to speak, if they could move anywhere they wanted to move, would live in a big city. That's our Gallup podcast for this week. I'm Dr. Frank Newport, Gallup Editor-in-Chief. Thanks for listening.